This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Those who explore the Christian faith sometimes worry about where their faith may lead them. They may raise questions and wrestle with their doubts. They may also find things which puzzle them exceedingly about the things Jesus said and did. And today's Bible reading is a perfect example. But as it says in this opening song, we're called to simply trust in him, regardless of our worries and fears, and give it all to him. I wrote this first song for a dear friend of mine who found herself in a similar position when she was making a decision to become a follower of Jesus herself. It's called Giving It All to You.
All my endless imaginings, the worries that are mine, my doubts where you're leading me, the pruning of the branches on the vine. Oh, Lord, I'm giving it all.
Today's Bible reading is one which may appear to be outrageous and even shock you when you listen to it. It seems so contrary to Jesus' teaching elsewhere. So what was he really trying to say in this reading from Luke 14, 25 to 33? Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Our next song has this to say, "Be not afraid, I go before you always." Words taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. It tells us it's by trusting in the one who created us and formed us that we will find rest for our souls.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your word.
That was a hymn, "Be Not Afraid," by Bob Dufford and sung there by John Michael Talbot. In one of his books, Bishop Tom Wright said about today's reading from Luke's Gospel, "This is one of those times when you want to put your hands over your ears, as Jesus says, the harshest things you've heard from him yet. Really, you think, if this was all he said, nobody would ever follow him." He goes on to say, "Hating your family? Giving up your possessions and carrying your own instrument of torture, what on earth is he on about?" Perhaps by exploring challenging passages like this and sticking with them and seeking answers rather than avoiding difficult questions, we may just find a few answers in the stillness of our hearts. For when we study scripture, it becomes pretty obvious that Jesus didn't always mean us to take his words literally. For example, he says here that we should hate our father and mother. Yet he himself adhered to the Ten Commandments, one of which clearly states, "Honour your father and mother." Also, he loved and cared deeply for his own mother, so much so, it was her well-being he thought of in his acute agony on the cross. He handed her over into the capable hands of his beloved disciple John, there on the spot. And did he really mean for us to give up everything? When he benefited from the hospitality of Mary and Martha, who offered him shelter, and Joseph of Arimathea, who offered him a rich man's tomb. And are we all meant to take up his cross and die when he told us he came to bring us life in abundance? All of Jesus' disciples, apart from John, were martyred for their faith, and there have been many individuals in history right through to the present time who faced persecution, even death, accomplishing great things for the sake of their faith. But did Jesus really call everyone to such extreme discipleship? It seems here that there are contradictions sometimes in Jesus' words, unless we see these challenges for what they really were. Hyperbole. I'll explain what that means after our next song.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief for pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Still, my soul, though dearest friends depart, and all is darkened in the veil of tears, then shalt thou better know his love, his heart, comes to soothe thy sorrows and thy fears. Be still, my soul, thy Jesus can repay. From his own fullness all he takes away. Hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgotten, purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
That song was Be Still My Soul, sung there by Celtic Thunder. Many people use exaggeration, it's known as hyperbole, in order to get some deeper truth across. I've heard many such examples, haven't you? Such as, my feet are killing me. Or that Ben must have hollow legs, he eats anything and everything. Also, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, and so on. Advertisers, more than anyone else, make use of hyperbole, telling us that the future's bright, the future's orange, and that we must all go to work on an egg. But slogans like this aren't to be taken literally, are they? But they're penned in such a way as to imprint words onto our minds, and these challenges of Jesus certainly do this. So is Jesus in effect saying, "Will you follow me, no matter what? Put me first, and my words"? Similar things can be found in our next hymn, written by John Bell. From Iona Community, we hear, "Will You Come and Follow Me?"
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call you?
So Jesus is telling us that there will be a cost to following him. There will be opposition and danger. Are we prepared for that? People will despise and mock the truth we speak. Will we stand up to them? When Jesus' words are twisted, are we willing to step forward and defend the faith we hold dear? Are we willing to put his words into action and forgive those who've despitefully used us? Will we reach out to the untouchables and those in need, regardless of what family and friends may think? Will we act for him in this world, be his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece? If some wrong needs to be put right, are we willing to make the first move to put it right? And will we keep on loving those who don't return our love? All such decisions as these do cost us dearly. Once we commit our way to him, it is then we discover our true colours, and we become beautiful simply because he is beautiful and he dwells within us. And we must never be afraid to show our true colours. I heard this song recently in a cartoon from DreamWorks called The Trolls. It was sung by Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick, a beautiful version of True Colours.
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, though I realize hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all. The darkness inside you can make you feel so small. Show me a smile then. Don't be unhappy. Remember when last saw you laughing? This world makes you crazy, and you've taken all you can bear. Just call me up, 'cause I will always be there. And I see your true color shining through. I see your true color. That's why I love you.
So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors are beautiful.
I see your true colors shining.
That's why I
makes you crazy. And you're taking all you can bear. Just call me up, 'cause I will always be there. And I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So
on our way down to London recently, my husband and I saw a wonderful sight in the sky to the left, a murmuration. A what? I can hear you say. I refer to the phenomenon that results when hundreds, sometimes thousands of starlings fly in swooping, intricately coordinated patterns through the sky. It's mesmerising, isn't it? This aerial stunt of theirs. But I asked myself at the time, let me see which one's the leader. And I just couldn't fathom which one it was as I watched. Were there several leaders, perhaps? Or was it simply a mysterious current of air which was sending them into these beautiful formations where they would find protection and warmth and companionship? I looked murmurations up, and the RSPB are quick to point out that such murmurations as this find that more and more birds will flock together as the weeks go on, and the number of starlings in a roost will swell to around 100,000 in some places. This analogy of the movement of the starlings is clear, that if we are willing to follow Jesus in love and fellowship with one another, according to the word he spoke, we will be caught up by the winds of his Spirit and guided into every good and right way. In such an atmosphere of love and togetherness, we too will add daily to our numbers. So if our faith is genuine and sincere, it will attract others to Jesus. But yes, it will cost us. But have we counted the cost? Are we prepared? One of our listeners recently sent in a lovely prayer to me. Her name's Carol Dixon from Morpeth, and I'd like to read that prayer to finish. Lord God, this day lies before me. I know some of the things it will bring, but not others. Be with me, I pray, in my planned activities, in the surprises that happen, and in the monotony. May I bring your presence to those I meet, in spoken and unspoken conversations. May I see you in others I encounter along the way. And when this day comes to an end, help me to walk through the day with Jesus in my mind, as I reflect on things that have gone well and those needing forgiveness, so that my rest may be free from worry and my sleep untroubled, filled with your peace. Thank you, Carol, for that. It's time for us to go now, though, but do tune in next week at 7. It's also goodbye from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
And from me, Sheila Hamill. May I wish you every blessing for this coming week. Let's end with a beautiful song, May the Road Rise to Meet You, again by Celtic Thunder. Bye for now.
May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall softly on your fields, and until we meet again, may you keep safe in the gentle loving arms of God. For everything there is a season, a time for meeting, a time to say goodbye.
In all things, God's near, always guiding your way.
May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. Upon your face. May the rain fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, may you keep safe in the gentle, loving arms of God.
For everything there is a season, a time for laughter, a time for tears and pain. In all things God is near, always guiding your way.
May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back.
May the sun shine warm upon your face.
May the rain fall softly on your fields.
And until we meet again, may you keep safe in the gentle, loving arms of God.